This is Modern Practice, the podcast that keeps you up to date on the latest in developments that will affect your approach to care. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, your host, and on this episode, we'll continue our discussion on COVID-19 vaccines with Dr. Azra Baleem and Dr. Stacey Lauderdale. Previously, we covered the vaccine's features and availability. Now let's focus on what we can do to prepare for them. I understand refrigeration is really a hot topic. Stacey, can you elaborate on that?
So we've certainly been hearing in a lot of news reports that storage is going to be a concern. Pfizer, which we believe will be the first vaccine to receive an emergency use authorization, must be stored under ultra low temperatures. And a lot of facilities don't have the appropriate storage or freezer type to store a Pfizer vaccine.
With the Pfizer vaccine being at ultra cold temperatures, there was a lot of preparation that healthcare systems needed to do in order to be ready to administer this vaccine. Coming in at negative 70 degrees, many facilities may have had one or two freezers on site, potentially in their lab department, but really did not have enough capacity in order to administer the Pfizer vaccine on a larger scale. So we at Vizient had been working with our suppliers and helping members procure those freezers, and many of them have now indicated that they are in good shape and feel fully confident in being able to handle the Pfizer vaccine. Where the challenge may arise with particularly that vaccine is in trying to treat patients out in more rural communities because they may not have those ultra cold freezers there. So the shipping container designed from Pfizer does allow for the vaccine to be stored in that container for up to 10 days, as long as it's replenished with dry ice. That will help us in inoculating the population out in more rural communities where they may not have the ultra cold freezer. Outside of the Pfizer vaccine, the other vaccine candidates, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, all three of those candidates will be stable at refrigerated temperatures. We were very excited when Moderna a few weeks ago announced that their stability testing indicated that their vaccine candidate will now be stable at refrigerated temperatures of 2 to 8 degrees Celsius for up to 30 days. And so with that change, really all of the other vaccine candidates can be stored at refrigerated temperatures that administered safely. And we really only have to worry now from a cold chain perspective about the Pfizer vaccine.
So Stacey, what's the average time period between vaccinations?
You know, it's about a month. It ranges anywhere from 21 to 28 days.
And then after the second injection, on average, when do we expect that the patient are actually immune?
So most of the studies have started to evaluate that primary endpoint, which again is symptomatic COVID-19 illness, approximately 28 days after that second vaccination.
So between the initial vaccination, the booster, and timed immunization, we could look at about an average of 2 months.
Correct.
Okay. Azra, what's your understanding of how the vaccinations will be actually distributed? Has there been any discussion on how we're going to actually fund for this?
That's a great question. And that is something that is still ongoing and developing in terms of the actual details for all of the operational plans. At a very high level, we know that every state was asked to submit their distribution plans to the CDC last month. And so many of the states worked in their state health department in order to develop how were they going to physically move the vaccine in their state and who was going to get it and in what quantities. So those plans were submitted at a high level to the CDC, and they are now looking at how to better refine those plans, knowing now that there's probably going to be a vaccine coming out very soon, and it's most likely going to be Pfizer and or Moderna's vaccine. They are now able to go back and look at those plans and add in a little bit more detail. From the top-down approach, Operation Warp Speed is the one that actually does own the doses that were purchased by the government. So with Pfizer, the U.S. government has a purchasing agreement for 100 million doses. And for Moderna, their purchasing agreement is for 100 million doses. For AstraZeneca, it's 300 million doses. And for Johnson & Johnson, it's 100 million doses. So all of those doses are owned by the government and will be managed by Operation Warp Speed. What they will be doing is allocating the quantities by state. So for example, they'll say, state of Illinois, you get 1 million doses. The state health department from Illinois will then determine who in their state they will be doling out those 1 million doses to. And they're doing this virtually in an electronic system. So once the state health department does so, in that electronic system and says, okay, here's hospital A, they're going to get 50,000 doses and so on and so forth, they'll go through. Then from that point forward, either the distributor or the manufacturer, whichever party is responsible for physically shipping the vaccine, they will be reading out of that system and shipping the quantity that's been approved out to that exact site. In the cases of Pfizer, they have decided to ship physically their vaccine themselves. So that vaccine will be coming directly from Pfizer to the entity that's going to be administering it. And in the cases of Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, that vaccine will be administered from a shipping perspective from McKesson.
Do you foresee them available to retail pharmacies, or will the onus be on healthcare facilities, particularly our members?
It will be available to retail pharmacies. They have signed an agreement with the government in order to be able to provide administration to long-term care facility residents and nursing home residents. So both CVS and Walgreens will be receiving the vaccine.
Social determinants of health really came into light during the pandemic. And you also mentioned rural facilities actually being at risk of not getting enough supply. Are you aware of any efforts to make sure that vaccinations are going to our ethnic minorities and to our rural facilities?
We know that many hospitals were looking at this a few months ago when they were looking at developing their policies for administration. And so they are still having those ongoing discussions into making sure what are the best operational plans to make sure that those disparities are addressed.
So let's ask the million-dollar question then. How will our members be able to operationalize this process, and what should they be planning right now?
The biggest thing that we're telling our members is, first and foremost, make sure that you are an enrolled provider with your state health department. This is a separate independent process if you want to be a provider for the COVID-19 vaccine. So first and foremost, make sure that you're enrolled. Once you're enrolled, then make sure that you are receiving regular communication from that state health department, because this is ever changing in terms of how many vaccines are coming out, what the quantities are, potentially on a week-to-week basis. So it's really important that hospitals and other providers who are going to be administering the vaccine are up to date in that communication. From an operational perspective on the ground, providers want to stop and consider how many employees within their health system will actually be interested in taking the vaccine. This is important because we know that healthcare workers will be considered a top priority when the vaccine first comes out. And it's important for them to take some time to determine what the actual physical demand will be, first and foremost, for their own healthcare workers. After that, it's important for them to then look at the population that they serve and see how many high-risk populations are within their vicinity in order to demand plan and kind of look at how many doses would actually be needed to serve the community that they're in. The next step in the operational plan is to sit down and think about how many doses can you safely administer within an 8-hour time frame. We know that many of our healthcare facilities are currently overrun and stretched very thin in simply treating COVID-19 patients. And in order to administer the vaccine, they will need to dedicate additional personnel simply just to the vaccination process. So it's important right now for them to consider, where will they be allocating their resources? How much staff can they really dedicate towards the vaccination effort, and at the same time, safely take care of the COVID-19 patients that they already have in their institutions?
That's really good feedback. So what are other considerations our members need to keep in mind, like supplies to administer the vaccines?
Great question. So with the vaccine shipment, there will be an ancillary supply kit that will contain some of the supplies needed for administration. So it will contain needles and syringes and alcohol swabs in order to prep the patient. But some of the things that many healthcare professionals will need on top of that do include PPE, so additional gloves and masks. They will need additional sharps containers for proper safety and disposal. And so those supplies are what healthcare institutions should be looking at right now in terms of how much they have on hand, how many doses they think they're going to be administering, and making sure that they do have enough supplies to help that effort along.
Azra, Stacy, we've reached the end of our discussion. You've really helped us understand what's happening around the development of these vaccines. Thanks for joining us for these past two episodes. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today like us, or send us your comments. And also please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.